You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. That's why I say Shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I
say Shot or no shot, brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download their app, which was, I believe, they download the new one because they upgraded it last night. I got the email.
Yep.
And stop by Hawthorne, Prospect Heights, or Crestwood and register your account. Mobile registration coming back in March, as I told you the night we were at Swift & Sons. Take that. Danny.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Danny.
What's up, Danny?
What up, what up, what up, Hoodie? How you doing?
Chilling, man. Just got back from Holland, Michigan. Spent some time with, you know, usually during this time is the annual ski trip. And I put ski in quotations. You know, four or five black couples aren't skiing. There's the annual ski trip, usually. And it was in Holland, Michigan. Really a lot of fun. And, you know, the thing I'm always concerned with is when you're close to the kitchen and you can kind of peer in through your bedroom and see someone drinking out of the milk carton, it's like, boy, it looks like I'm not going to have cereal. Now, the question is, should you be able to tell that person, hey, that's not right, or tell the significant other that that's not right, drinking out of the milk carton?
I'd go right to the person. I'd be like, Danny, really? I wanted to have cereal or milk in my coffee, and you got to drink from the jug?
I'm with Cap. You go right at the person. That's inconsiderate. You're a bleep, 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 bleeper.
What's even more inconsiderate is doing it thinking you won't get caught. Hoodie happened to have that side eye like Ryan Pace hiding behind the door at the press conference.
Looking for me?
Oh, look what I saw.
So, I was going to say it out in public for everyone to say, hey, don't drink the milk because
that would have been great.
These are COVID times, Hoodie. Yeah. You would have been doing everyone a public service announcement.
Yeah, I should have said in front of everyone that redacted drank out of the, drank out of the milk carton. Just like, you know.
Why redacted?
I'm not going to say the person's name here.
Tell me, I'll say it.
No, can't do that. Redacted. But that's
Wiley?
That was, no.
Maceo?
No. They got common sense. that person did not, DeLon. So I would say that, that's kind of how that works, man. I was very uncomfortable with that. You know, so but that's usually our annual ski trip, you know,
trip. You ski from the bedroom to the shower to the chalet to drink.
It's usually the way it works. Yes.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen, let's get to shot or no shot on Saturday night.
Great time.
What's that?
It was a great time as far as I can remember.
What were you drinking?
Oh, anything that moved.
Do you drink a hot toddy when you go skiing? Isn't that what you're supposed to drink? Like warm beverages?
What does that mean?
I have no clue, but I know they serve it at ski resorts.
Now, you know, again, I put in quotation ski trip, right? It's only because it's winter. that's what ski trip is to us. No one's on the slopes. Just like the kids, right? They're only in tobogganing or, you know, going down the slopes, whatever, but the adults aren't doing that.
By the way, a hot toddy, also known as hot whiskey in Ireland, is typically a mixed drink made of liquor and water with honey, or in some recipes, sugar, some herbs, spices, and is always served hot. It's meant to soothe.
It's whiskey, it's honey, it's lemon, it's water, and it's a cinnamon stick.
Yeah, I wouldn't have that just as a drink. That would be an elixir if I have a cold.
That's what it says. You can relieve the symptoms of a cold or flu.
Yeah. Ultimately, that is, for me, some Moore's beer and some Crown Royal over the weekend.
There you go.
Apple. Go ahead, Danny.
All right, gentlemen. On Saturday night, the Buffalo Bills possessed the ball 8 times and assembled an eye-popping drive chart. That was a tough word. that was a tongue twister. Let's try that
chart.
Again.
Eye-popping drive chart.
On Saturday night, the Bills possessed the ball 8 times and assembled an eye-popping drive chart. Check this out. Touchdown. 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 Victory formation.
Wow.
After the blowout playoff win, Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll interviewed with your Chicago Bears for the head coaching position. Gentlemen, shot or no shot, after Saturday's performance by the Buffalo Bills, your Chicago Bears must strike while the iron is hot and hire Brian Daboll immediately.
That's a no shot for me. We laid out on the show last week that Brian Daboll just got hot with the right team and the right quarterback. Before that in the NFL, that guy had terrible offenses. But he needed to have a little sprinkle of Nick Saban for everything to get straightened out. So when you are a coach that's not going in the right direction, you need to go to the home for wayward coaches. And that's what happened to Brian Daboll, right?
Correct. He went to 1 year with Nick Saban.
That's all you need.
Okay, get out. I need that room for Bill O'Brien's coming in.
Seriously.
Or Steve Sarkisian.
Right? That's all it takes,
Sarkisian has a drinking problem. We got to get that cleaned up, and then he'll be in here.
Seriously. It's a rehab for bad coaches.
Get out.
Yeah. It's a rehab for bad coaches.
It is. So, Brian Daboll, in terms of rankings, he was with Cleveland offensive coordinator. They were 32nd in yard, 29th in points, 6th in rushing attempts, 8th in rushing yards, 30 in pass attempts, 32nd in passing yards. It did not get much better. He then went to Kansas City. This is pre-Andy Reid, where he was 24th in yards and 32nd in points. Mm-hmm. And now in Buffalo, they were 30th, 24th, 2nd, and 5th. So is Brian Daboll the reason? Or, hey, man, they got really good freaking players. Josh Allen's a beast. That offensive line, they're a load. I'm not saying he's not a good coach, but race out and go, I got to have that guy. Prove it. If you're good, I'll be the guy leading the cheers.
No shot.
But to race out, no. Just get the best leader, and if he's the right guy, we will all throw flowers and bouquets at him.
Danny.
Gentlemen, speaking of Josh Allen, I am simply going to steal a question from a Bill Simmons podcast I was listening to yesterday. Mm-hmm. Shot or no shot, you would take Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes for the next 15 years?
That's a no shot. I'll take the guy with the ring. I'll take the known versus the unknown. Patrick Mahomes, I take for the next 15 years. I think I can win with him multiple times. He's already shown it once.
Can he leave his brother behind? His brother's out of his mind.
All right, keep the family out of it. Just keep it to football.
But Josh Allen's a great, great player. I'll take Patrick Mahomes. I watched that performance the other night. They're down 7-0. Mahomes got strip sacked, and he threw a pick, and then it was like, okay, game on. And he was amazing. They're both great. I'll take either one, but if you said I could have my choice, I'm taking Mahomes.
Danny.
Gentlemen, the Cowboys are stacked with talent, but they blew a golden opportunity to advance in the postseason. I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, Mike McCarthy should be fired today.
That's a no shot. The beat cop should have another opportunity at this thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know what? Sidebar, may I approach?
You may. Brought to you by Ankin Law, 312-6 million, the great Howard Ankin.
Yeah, please, beak, if you can. You get your permission to beak. You know what, Cap? Until Dallas proves it to me on a regular basis in the postseason, I'm starting to think that their building that they play in is not a home field advantage. It's so many people there, 100,000 people, right? You would think, like, oh, man, it's like college. It's like Ann Arbor. It's like some of these places.
The Horseshoe.
Huge places, like, where everyone's rooting for you. I find the Cowboys. Now, Mel, you tell me if I'm wrong. Don't the Cowboys seem more spectacle than team for the fans?
Oh, yeah.
Sizzle rather than steak.
It's definitely the circus and Jerry Jones' P.T. Barnum. I would agree with that.
You got to get it done on the field, but also fans can help. And I just feel like that place is so big. I'm not sure how the fans affect the Cowboys at all, quite frankly.
Correct.
Out of all the places, Mellor, wouldn't you say, like, you can get 100,000 in there, but do the Cowboys really have a home field advantage in that building? Do they really have one?
No, I never get the sense when you're watching that it's like, I don't know how much of it being indoors plays a factor, but you would think that it would actually help, right? That you have the enclosure when the dome is closed, you would think it should get really loud there, right?
You should,
but
right?
Nobody ever says, "Boy, don't want to go to Dallas." And to your point, Hoodie, about the fact that they don't have a home field advantage, like, is it stupid that they have the glare come in where it constantly at the in the second quarter and leading into halftime, this happens all the time when you're watching a Cowboys game in the middle of the afternoon. There's always a ball that gets dropped by somebody because of the glare of the sun.
There was the one right over the
middle. Well, that's Cedric Wilson. It was a critical third down for the Cowboys.
He's like, with his hands up, like, I can't see.
Like, you spent over, what was it, $2 billion on AT&T Stadium?
And you couldn't have thought, let's do a survey. Where's the sun come in?
I mean, I know a guy. He'll tint the windows for him.
He literally, I mean, it's probably John up at App. They tint windows.
Probably a little more because it'll be, you know, bigger glass in AT&T Stadium. But I'm sure Jerry Jones could spring for it.
Meller knows a guy. It's some Southside guy that can tint the windows there.
Unbelievable.
That's there because God can see his team. Right?
That's it.
That's where the hole was there, the original stadium, right? So God can look in on his team.
But your receivers can't see the football in the second quarter.
Crazy.
How about that, Danny?
Crazy.
All right, Danny, go ahead.
Gentlemen!
Fire McCarthy! I want to fire my McCarthy.
Listen, Cap and I used to argue back on this show a long time ago before it was Cap and Hood, when it was Cap and Company. Cap and I used to argue. I used to say that Mike McCarthy was a horrible coach, that Aaron Rodgers hated him, that his style of offense was antiquated. And Cap used to defend him, saying he's a great coach, look at his record, blah, blah, blah. I would fire him today. Like, I would have fired him before the game ended.
Well, that wasn't his play call at the end. Kellen Moore is the guy calling all the plays. Fire them both.
The most penalized team in football. 14 penalties the other day. That falls on him also.
Don't disagree. You're right.
His offense is stagnant.
You're correct.
Aaron Rodgers couldn't wait to get rid of him. On top of that, you're running the ball up the middle of the field with no time. Like, all of it just makes no sense. He's got to go.
Maybe that team is
That team is way too talented to end up losing that game.
Is Dak a top six quarterback? Not for me.
It's probably top 10.
Top 10, yes.
Okay. Is Ezekiel still the same guy?
Yeah, he's still a beast.
Yeah. Go look at his numbers.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo a top 10 quarterback?
No.
A top 6 quarterback?
They
lost to that team.
Right? That's correct.
But that team is way better.
Which team had more talent? Cowboys or 49ers?
Wow. 49ers have a lot of talent, man. They do. I'm not big on their quarterback, and that's why they're probably going to move on from him after this year go to Trey Lance. But their defense, their offensive line, their Debo Samuel, guy's phenomenal.
Be honest, though. If Kyle Shanahan and Mike McCarthy switched sidelines, who do you think would have won that game?
The Cowboys.
Yes.
I'm not trying to fire McCarthy, though, because McCarthy, as I said, is a beat cop. He's not even calling plays. That's Moore's plays.
That's correct.
You're the head coach. You can't allow that.
No.
The headset's going through him.
No, Jeff.
Hoodie.
Jeff, didn't you see how they work well with the Bears? What do you mean? You had to play calling off to someone else, right? Blame him.
They both need to be fired. I'm sorry.
You'll get your wish. I think Kellen Moore will go first, though. And by the way, no more head coaching gigs for Kellen Moore.
Dude, he's got four interviews this week.
It killed it. That's the end.
If I'm a Cowboys fan, I have a friend who's a very, very big Cowboys fan. Izzy. He lives and dies with him. He was comatose on Sunday, man.
Nothing.
If you have to live through another season with Mike McCarthy as your head coach, if you're a Cowboys fan, I feel for you, man. I think the Bears might be in a better spot.
NFL Network said last night there is some school of thought that they so love Dan Quinn down there.
Mm-hmm.
He's interviewing with the Bears this week and the Broncos, that they might move on McCarthy and promote Dan Quinn. That's how much they love him.
That makes sense, because then you all kill two birds with one stone. Keep Quinn, get McCarthy out of there.
Gone.
All right, Danny, go ahead.
All right, gentlemen, the Manning cast was back yesterday. It was phenomenal as always. The Rams and the Cardinals played, and in the second quarter, Peyton and Eli spoke to The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, for a very, very long second quarter. Everyone's attention was focused on The Rock's background. He had a large dinosaur skull. He told the Manning brothers that the skull was named Stan, and it is the most complete T-Rex skeleton to ever be excavated by a paleontologist. Stan the T-Rex was sold for quite a bit of money back in 2020. It was sold for over $31 million, according to National Geographic. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, The Rock having a $31 million dinosaur head in the background while he was on the Manning cast is the greatest rich guy on TV flex of all time.
That is a shot for sure. Man, I didn't know I was that much money.
I didn't either.
The largest T-Rex skull ever is owned by The Rock, and it's just sitting in his house behind him.
I'm going to have you put something up, Danny, on Cap J Hood on Instagram and Twitter. Vince McMahon has the same one. Have you seen this?
No.
He has the same one. I'm going to show it. But no, that is. But the answer is shot. It's weird that Vince and The Rock both have the same type of figure there.
That's what you got, just stupid money. Just stupid.
$31 million. What did you say? $31 million?
It sold for $31.8 million.
Can you imagine going home to Diana or to Michelle or to Peacock or me to Mindy go, hey, I'm going to get something I want for our wall. Okay. What are you going to buy? This T-Rex head. T-Rex head. Really? How much? $31 million. $31 million!
That's ridiculous.
All right, is it time to worry?
Look at this, Danny.
About the Chicago Bulls. Time to worry? Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
You'll see running by. Welcome back here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. We get more runners go by here because there's nobody on the streets. You got your guy in the Purdue stuff. I hope he washes that because he's in the same shirt every day.
That guy, that keeps him motivated. Purdue, by the way, shout out to Purdue. Hell of a game against Illinois yesterday.
Double overtime.
Hell of a game. I'm going to talk to Deion Thomas about that later on the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast. That'll be the next thing that you hear after hour three of the podcast with Cap and Jay Hood, my conversation with Deion Thomas. How far can Illinois go? Hell of a game. And Curbelo's back. Boy, that's a wild card, man. You never know what you're going
to
get from him.
Does he drive his Chevy Blazer over to record that with you?
Okay. Okay. It's not Dan Hampton. It's Deion Thomas.
They gave him.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Coach Henson's dead. He's not going to get mad at
Don't do that. They're nice boys. Don't do that.
Do you remember the Judd Heathcote story? Do you remember that?
Let's leave him alone, man.
Judd Heathcote, his team, Michigan State, was late to the game in Champaign. Bus driver was foggy. They couldn't find the entrance. He's only been playing there for like 10 years. They go to the press conference. He wins. Coach, you guys were late getting to the game. You showed up a few minutes before tip. He said, yeah, it was very foggy out. The driver couldn't find the stadium. And then I saw all those beautiful Camaros and Corvettes parked in the parking lot where the players are, and I knew we're in the right place. You remember that?
Yes.
It's the funniest thing ever.
Oh, my God.
So I watched the Bulls yesterday. And they are banged up beyond belief. No Lonzo Ball. No Zach LaVine. Thank goodness his MRI was clean for structural damage. No Alex Caruso. And they've got no strength defensively inside. Add in that Vucevic had a bad game. I think he had double-digit rebounds, but I don't know, 7-8 points. He was scoreless at the half. He had a bad game. That happens. They are in the midst of a very tough run. From they beat Detroit, and then they get Brooklyn, Golden State, Boston on the road, so it's 3 out of 4 days.
Yeah.
And then they have to go play on Monday at Memphis against Ja Morant, a really good Grizzlies team.
And a tough-as-nails Cleveland team all of a sudden on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
This is where you got to figure out who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're missing players. My concern is, what are the Bulls by the time you get to March and April? Like, every team's going to go through injuries. Right? Brooklyn's going through this with KD, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number of teams. The Lakers had to deal with this with LeBron early. Anthony Davis now. So it's the doldrums. Let's see where you are in March and April, right? This Bulls team, because they lost against Brooklyn the way they did, they were going to lose because it's three Hall of Famers on the floor at the same time. No excuses. The Bulls just didn't play well against three Hall of Famers. It's tough to do. Kyrie's in and out of the lineup, and so he came in there, and just the threat of him helped the Nets just demolish the Bulls. Golden State. Well, it's Golden State. I mean, there's still a formidable team that could be at the top of the West. So no excuses. The Bulls should have been able to play better. They did not. Should have won that game against Boston. And then the Grizzlies. Oh, man. That's a fun team to watch all of a sudden.
How about Steven Adams grabbing Tony Bradley and basically just picking him up and going, I know you're 7 feet tall. You're skinny and you're weak. Look out.
Yep. Bulls need a big. Anytime that another big can pull another, put not just push him out of the post, actually pick him up like a little toddler and just move him to the side.
Correct.
Like, oh, God, that's not going to work. Right. Memphis is such a good, young, exciting team, almost collegiate, right?
They're good.
When they get up and down the floor, they're fast. And Ja Morant, and Cap and I talked about this last week, but we're going to bring it to the air. Bulls fans, you're seeing the next Derrick Rose in Ja Morant.
He's amazing.
Oh, look how fast he gets into the front court. As a coach, you got to love that, right?
Love it.
As soon as after a make or a miss, it's already across the timeline. Like, whoa, it's 22 seconds left in the clock. He's already got – the offense is already in motion.
Gives you time to set things up and run what you want to run.
He's already in motion.
Correct.
It's not even – it's 22 seconds up. How did he get there? He got there in 3 seconds or less across that timeline.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And so yesterday's game, watched it, Cap, and it's like you're shorthanded, right? My friend Sylvie in the afternoon, I can't wait for this afternoon because I just know this is going to be the Waddle to Sylvie Vucevic show because he will take him apart. And yes, he did not have a good game. The thing that frustrated me the most is that out of position Vucevic was defensively, right? Mm-hmm. We understand that he's not Wilt in there, but man, you got to give a better effort closing off the baselines and a little help every now and then could help defensively too, right?
Yep.
But they were just, the Bulls are just out of sorts. Against a much faster, younger team, the second youngest team in the NBA. They are number one in a lot of categories as far as getting the, you know, pace of game, rebounds, offensive rebounds. They do so many things well, this Memphis, right? But Ja Morant, if no one else told you, Cap and I will tell you, as good as Derrick Rose was in his rookie campaign and when he's healthy, Ja Morant is just that much better.
He's amazing.
I mean, and it just shows you, Cap, like, in the draft, you don't know what you're getting, right? You see Morant in the NCAA tournament, wins a game, gets to the second one, gets bounced out. But he impresses people so much in the NCAA tournament, you're like, this guy could be something. I'm going to take Zion first, but that Morant, I'm going to take him second.
Boy, would they like a do-over there.
Right? But but listen, you just want the Bulls to be able to be healthy, and then you can find out where you are. But the way that team is without LaVine, and it's just DeRozan and Vucevic.
No Ball, no Caruso.
Not enough.
Banged up. Dean downtown. Hey, Dean.
Good morning.
Dino, hello.
Hello. I will say you and Vooch, should get an apartment together, Cap. You seem to have a love affair with those two.
I don't have one with Mike McCarthy. I do love Vucevic as a player, yes.
The reason I called, I hate him, but anyways. The reason I'm called is because it is indeed the biggest fletch in rich guy history on TV, and it's not even close. That, and also, that T-Rex was a big FU to Vince McMahon, I believe. I was talking to Danny. I believe that was solely purchased to shove it to the great Vince McMahon. And the last thing I will say is I moved to Chicago, back to Chicago. I was born here when I was 18, and I listened to the great Les Grobstein, many a night. Rest in peace. Take that.
Take that. See you, Dino. Appreciate it. 312-332-3776. Let's get Space in here. Hey, Space.
Cap, Hoodie, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Okay, Space. Okay. What do you have for us?
Just a couple quick things. There's no reason to panic on the Bulls. Like you said, the Bulls are tremendously sure-handed. I mean, Javante Green is gone. We're missing Derrick Jones Jr., Zach LaVine. So, I mean, potentially Alex Caruso, 3 and 4. And then Patrick Williams has been gone from almost the beginning of the season. So there's no need to panic. It happens with injuries and COVID. So, you know, it's just part of the season. We just got to wait it out and, have that next man up mentality. The problem is these next guys up are jumping straight into the starting lineup. Malcolm Hill. You know, so you're going to expect some off games and things like that, especially going against some of the most talented teams in the NBA, which we just got rid of, just got through a tough schedule. So, we're just expecting bigger and better things. But real quickly, back to the game that you said as far as San Francisco and A-Ron and them.
Yeah.
The thing is, you mentioned San Francisco being, you know, it depends on Jimmy G. And I think Kyle Shanahan can scheme. I think that's one of the best running teams out there. I think the biggest defense, the biggest difference is going to be their defense. Is Fred Warner playing? Is Bosa playing? You know, if those two guys, San Francisco has the ability to pressure the quarterback with just rushing their first front four. And then take them all out and put in a fresh front four. If, are those guys coming in healthy? Are they going to be able to play in that game? I think that's the key to beating Aaron over there. So,
all right, man.
Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend of games.
Yes, sir.
Right,
do the same, fellas.
We'll see you. There's our guy Space in Plainfield.
They pronounce Aaron Aaron in the South.
Aaron.
Yes. Aaron. Aaron. In some places in the South, that's why he refers to him as Aaron instead of Aaron.
Wow.
Because there's two A's on there. It's kind of weird, right?
Correct.
How come Aaron just can't be spelled A-R-O-N? Aaron, right? Aaron, right?
Right.
Why the double A-Ron. Why the double A in that spot? Strange, right? I'm just wondering.
It's odd. Everything about them's odd. Anyway, we go around the NFL and the Bears search because he's got some nuggets.
Uh-oh.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com. Next.
Take that.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
Our guy, Bert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com, brought to you by Curcio Law Offices and our friend, RJ Curcio, who wears a very cool Walter Payton hoodie. Danny, you just had lunch with him. Did he wear the Walter Payton hoodie? That thing is sick.
No, the day I had lunch with him, he was actually dressed like a lawyer because he was doing lawyerly things.
Oh, he was dressed like a banker.
A lawyer? Why a banker? Why do you always have to talk poorly of bankers?
How am I talking poorly?
Well, when you insult the way people dress, you're like, they're dressed like a banker. It's never dress like a banker.
Conservative. I'm not criticizing.
There's probably some sharp bankers out there, but RJ was sharp that day, and he could whoop your butt, dude. He takes boxing over at the East Bank.
Uh-huh.
Get in a ring with him, Cappy.
No,
then tell him he dresses like
a
banker.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
How about Albert Breer covers the NFL with us every Tuesday on ESPN 1000. Hello, Albert.
He's not ready. He'll join us in a little bit.
Albert, how are you?
Albert's having a little bit of an issue.
Albert, let's talk a little bit about Dan Quinn. Your thoughts on there. Why is his name such a hot name after that debacle with Atlanta? Go ahead.
Well, you see, Jonathan, he has success as a head coach. He took a team to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Not sure anyone could have pulled the nose up after blowing a 28-3 lead, but it is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots. He's beloved in Dallas. He will interview with the Bears and the Broncos this week. But there is a school of thought, Jonathan, that perhaps Jerry Jones could be persuaded to move on Mike McCarthy to install Dan Quinn and keep him in Dallas.
It's not your school of thought, because there's no school. There's no class with you. So we're going to wait here for Albert Breer and get his thoughts here on what's going on with the NFL. We'll go around. And as I mentioned to you before, Cap, I'm looking forward to this weekend. You know, wild card weekend was much better until they call it Super Wild Card Weekend. Call it Super Wild Card Weekend, not as good. But the Wild Card Weekend, pretty good. not the same.
If my son Brett and I are on the couch watching pro football in the playoffs, yeah, I'm okay with it. I know some of the games were blowouts.
Some.
I still, some. Like, Saturday night, we watched every single snap of the Buffalo just trouncing of New England.
Nothing on Lifetime for you to watch, huh? Probably would have been better.
No. My mom was an escort, was only on OWN a little earlier in the afternoon. By the way, I was watching
OWN, yes.
One afternoon last week, my wife's upstairs working in her office.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I need to just veg out on the couch for a little bit. Uh-huh. I'm flipping around, and I get to whatever channel that is.
Oh, yes.
And all of a sudden, it's like, the first one is, my mommy's a stripper, and I never knew. Then you get to the next one, kidnapped and held at gunpoint. Then the next one is, my mom was an escort. Like, what?
That's right. Now you know with some women will watch during the NFL. Because that's the kind of programming, right?
Right.
It's like you and I are just locked in, right? NFL, whatever sporting event is on. But you have something for the non-sports fan. This is why Lifetime own all these channels.
LMN.
Oh, yeah. Locked in. That's their Super Bowl.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I'm flipping around, like watching these things going, this is what's on every afternoon? Like, I don't watch afternoon TV unless there's a sporting event on, like, yesterday.
My man, that does a good number for cable against the NFL. Like, that's pretty good. Like, nothing will be able to trump the NFL. But for ladies or people that don't like the NFL, you've got that. They're locked in with popcorn, got their friends over with popcorn, sitting there watching. Having a nice brunch.
Yeah, there was
stuff.
One. The sorority became a brothel. I'm like,
oh, yes.
Excuse me?
Yes. What do you think my...
Stay up there, Mindy. I'm going to watch something.
what do you think my wife's watching while watching the NFL?
Right.
What do you think? Like, I'm downstairs in the hood cave, right? Three, four TVs on. I've got whatever the local game they give us for CBS or Fox, the Bears game, and I've got the Red Zone, right? And I'm checking fantasy numbers or whatever. I'm doing all that. And I sometimes you go upstairs and see what's going on. Is that Lifetime on? Is that Meredith Baxter Burney? What is she doing on? Is that Carol Burnett? Boy, she's aged. What is she doing on there? Take that.
Take that. Right.
it's very odd, right?
Wow.
So it's just counter programming, right? That's the way it works.
Danny, what's going on with Albert? I have a feeling there's some difficulty.
When I called him, he was in a little bit of a distress. Turns out his car is currently getting towed. He said, Danny, let me call you back in 2 minutes once I get in the tow truck.
Wait a minute.
What?
Get in the tow truck?
The car's getting towed. I don't know where he is.
Because it's broken down or because he broke the law?
I'm assuming broken down. That's why it's getting towed. And he's getting in the tow truck, which will be great. Him doing an NFL hit in a tow truck for the Chicago audience with a tow truck driver to his left.
That's the best.
Maybe the tow truck driver has something on his phone that we'll all be interested in.
Ask the tow truck driver what's on his phone.
What's on your phone that he hasn't told anybody yet?
Pick up in a couple hours. About 2 hours out of town. That's on my phone.
What? We need football thoughts, sir.
Yes.
He's in Massachusetts, right? Is that where Breer is?
I believe that's correct.
Oh, God.
You are correct.
Oh, God.
What kind of car do you think an Albert Breer drives?
I'm going to say he's got kids, so I'm going to go SUV. I'm going to say he's driving a Ford Explorer or a Chevy Tahoe.
Chevy. Nah, I'm going to say Ben's truck.
Yeah, I was thinking German hoodie.
Yeah,
really?
I think he's driving a Subaru.
Miller, you're always thinking German.
Subaru. I could see Danny that Hyundai.
Yeah,
something like that.
I think a German vehicle. That's what I think. As we wait for Albert Breer,
go Chevy Tahoe. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Did you see what Zach Taylor did when he had his original press conference?
You didn't. You've been telling me, but you didn't tell me the whole story.
Right. So
what
when he had his original press conference, he said, hey, when I get us to the playoffs, when we go as a team, I'm going to the first playoff win. The game ball is going to go to this local bar that he likes to go to where Bengals fans all like to watch the game. It's called the Mount Lookout Tavern. I've been there. It's in Mount Lookout, right? In, I think on, what do they call that area? Mount Adams? Adams.
Yes, Cincinnati, yes.
Mount Adams.
Yes, thank you.
And so they're all in there celebrating. The game was at home.
Yes.
He does his press conference. He does all his stuff, gets in the car. And the punter drove there as well. And the two of them walk in. The place goes nuts. And he's like, I can't stay. So he didn't have any drinks with him. I promised you this. And it's the game ball for the bar.
Wow.
And the place goes insane.
It's so big for that city.
And they have a video. And he says, this is the first of many playoff games we win here. And he gave the ball to the bartender. It's gone viral. I think that's cool.
No, it's good. It's really positive for the city. It's been such a long time.
That's a guy who gets it. He gets it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I promised in 2019, 3 years ago, we're going to get to the playoffs, and we are going to be a good team. And he started 0-11. There were people screaming, fire this guy. He's horrible. Patience.
He turned it around, man.
He did.
They turned it around in a big way. I'd love for the Bears to have that trajectory, if possible. To be a Cincinnati, a young quarterback. He's got the wide receiver he wants. The defense is good enough to be able to win games. Whatever you think of Vegas, Cincinnati was able to finally knock it down. It's been such a long time, such a drought.
312-332-3776. Hopefully Albert is out of cuffs and they
He's
have...
He's not being arrested.
You sure about that? We'll discuss that and hopefully have Albert Breer with the latest on the Bears coaching search next.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, right to our guest. He was in custody. He is now free of said custody, and he joins us for his NFL hit, brought to you by Curcio Law.
He's dotted.
The great Albert Breer. Boy. Albert, good morning. How are you? Everything okay with the towing escapade?
Yeah, I don't think that I'm free of anything right now. I'm going to the dealership with my car. And, I don't know if, like, you guys are this way, but, like, the older I get, the less tolerance I have for the cold weather and everything that comes with it. And this is one of those things, man, like, where... the battery notification came up. You know, my wife was driving it 2 weeks ago. We thought it was just a one-day thing. And then yesterday it came up for me when it was, or 2 days ago when it was like 6 degrees here. And sure enough, like yesterday, I'm trying to drive the thing home and the battery dies on me. I had to pull over to the side of the road, ride my momentum into my driveway, and now I'm on a tow truck. I'm in a tow truck going up to the dealership to get this thing fixed.
Oh, man. That sounds like a rough Tuesday.
I thought it was being told you were in custody, so I guess it's just a vehicle.
Albert, you're not arrested, correct? Can we confirm that?
No. I've been in those situations before, but not this time.
Okay, I understood. You know, you've been tweeting about Dan Quinn, about how he's in line to be able to get maybe one of these head coaching jobs. What is intriguing about Quinn from his time with the Falcons to now?
Yeah, I think there are a few things, Huddy. I would start with just, the job that he did in Dallas. And, the fact that he was able to go in there, and that defense was an absolute mess last year. And, to go in and, I mean, not only make it competent, but then get the most out of the guys on hand. And they had lost some guys from last year, too. And, you know, Chidobe Awuzie was one who went on to Cincinnati. He's been a good player there. And he developed young guys. You know, he developed Trayvon Diggs. He developed Micah Parsons. He got those guys in position to play right away. And so I think teams look at that, and then they match it up with what he was able to do in Atlanta when they were drafting well. They were in the Super Bowl in his second year, and everybody knows what happened there, but they were 30 minutes away from winning a world title. And so I think you add those things up, and, you know, it's pretty easy to look at it and say, you know, if he can find his next Kyle Shanahan, who was his offensive coordinator's first 2 years in Atlanta, there's a lot to work with there. You know, and I think you could argue that, you know, two things happened at the end in Atlanta. One, the personnel wasn't as good down at the end of his time in Atlanta as it was at the start. You know, and then number two, the offensive coordinator hires, and this is on him, weren't as good as the first one he made. So, you know, I think you kind of like add it up and look at the totality of it. You see a guy who, you know, probably deserves a second chance.
How do you avoid, I don't mean you, like an ownership group, avoid recency bias? Like a month ago, six weeks ago, Buffalo loses to Jacksonville. Everyone's like, 9-6? Forget Brian Daboll. He stinks. Now he goes out and destroys Bill Belichick's defense. Oh, wait a minute. We'll take that guy. How do you avoid that? And who do you think is the top candidate for Chicago?
Well, I think the number one thing that you need to do, Cap, to avoid that is you need to kind of prioritize what you want in a head coach. And I don't think necessarily that individual performances by a coordinator's unit should drive that. Now, like, I think it's fair that, like, if a guy is an offensive coordinator, his offense plays well, that puts him on your radar. Or, you know, same thing with a defensive coordinator and his defense. But these are, I mean, very, very different jobs. Being a head coach is such a different job than being a coordinator. And so, you know, I think the main thing is just understanding what you want in a head coach. And, you know, like if a guy has a bad couple of weeks, you can separate that from his ability to be a head coach. Because being able to run one unit is such a small part of becoming a head coach. And, you know, I think, again, Brian Daboll's ability to develop a quarterback is a huge part of why people would want to talk to him. And the job he's done with Josh Allen's been fantastic. I think he had some issues calling his offense earlier this year, but that should in no way take him out of consideration for one of these jobs. You know, if you think the guy's got a good chance to be a head coach, having a bad 3 or 4 game stretch should not take him off your radar. You asked who I think the leader in Chicago is. I've given you guys Leslie Frazier before. He'll interview on Friday. I think he's got a good shot at it. But I think there's another piece of this, too, that's going to ride on who you're matching up, you know, with who you're matching the guy up with from a GM standpoint. So if you make the GM hire first, well, if it's Joe Shane from Buffalo, that would naturally, you know, increase the chance that Brian Daboll has of getting that job. So, you know, I'd pay attention to what happens with the GM spot, and I'd also pay attention to Bill Polian's involvement. You know, Leslie Frazier's obviously one guy that has connections to Bill Polian, having been together with him in Indianapolis, as, of course, was Jim Caldwell.
So what does this say for Jim Harbaugh? I know that his name's kind of cold now. Will he still – what's the likelihood that he'll have an NFL job this season, this upcoming
season? Let me ask you guys this. Do you guys want him in Chicago?
I do not personally know.
I would be okay with it because I look at 44-19-1 and I can't get away from what he did with Kaepernick changing offense on the fly.
I want something more permanent, as permanent as possible in the NFL, Albert. I just think that he's a climber. I just think that, but Michigan should be the spot he should be in for the next decade if he wants to. But in the NFL, right, especially with this outfit, I don't think that Harbaugh would be here more than 4 years, quite frankly, before he'd get bored with the McCaskey. So I don't think Chicago's a fit. I think Raiders could be a fit, just not the Bears.
But if it means winning 44 games in 4 years, you'd sign up for it, right? Even if it's ugly at the end. I mean, that's the thing. Like to me, Jim Harbaugh is Bill Parcells. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I view him. And, you know, what do I mean by that? Well, I think, you know, he's the sort of head coach who can come in and shake up your program. And some of his success is going to be based on his ability to find good coordinators, which is what Parcells was at the end, too, right? But, like, he's somebody who's going to come in, shake up your program, I think get more of the guys in-house right away. It happened at Michigan. It happened at Stanford. It happened with the Niners. And then eventually, I think he winds up wearing everybody out, and you might have an ugly ending. And so that's what you'd be signing up for with Harbaugh. I think he'd be very interested in the Bears' job. I don't know whether or not the Bears are willing to pay what it would take to get him, but I think he'd be very interested in that job. I also think he's very interested in the Raiders' job. And I think this sort of started as, you know, Harbaugh having some hard feelings over having to take the pay cut last year at Michigan and holding that grudge to some degree. And feeling like if those people made me uncomfortable last year, I'm going to make them uncomfortable now. But I do think that there's genuine interest on his part in taking another swing at the NFL. And I think through this process, this is just me. I'm not climbing in his head. I'm just reading tea leaves here. I think part of it for him is going through all of this and seeing it, looking at it, saying to himself, there's no interest in me last year at the NFL level. I'm 58 years old. Do I get another shot to do this? And so I very much get the sense he's weighing his options. That said, he did hire a D-line coach at Michigan last week, and that was the first hire he'd made since the season ended. So maybe that's a sign that Michigan's getting a little bit closer to finding a way to lock him up.
Have a great rest of your day. Glad to hear you're out of confinement.
He's not in confinement.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys as well, wishes. We're almost to the dealership now, so thanks.
All right, we'll talk to you. There he is. That's our guy, Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com. We forgot to ask the tow truck driver that he's driving with if there's anything on his phone that maybe he wanted to share with us, but we didn't.
No.
Was Matt Nagy really the nicest guy you'll ever meet and a culture guy? Uh-oh. 2 minutes.